Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This news is funded by viewers and listeners like you. Please support our work at democracynow.org/support. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We are Israel's closest partner. The suffering in Gaza now becomes part of our story. It becomes part of our responsibility.
Over 100 Palestinians are killed and 760 wounded after Israeli troops open fire on a large crowd of people waiting for food aid in Gaza. We'll speak with Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, one of the first senators to call for a ceasefire. He also traveled to the Rafah border crossing, where only a trickle of humanitarian aid is being allowed into Gaza. We'll also talk with him about his new book, Filibustered, How to Fix the Broken Senate and Save America. Then we'll be joined by the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food. He says Israel's intentionally starving Palestinians and should be held accountable for war crimes. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Authorities in Gaza say Israeli forces have committed a massacre in Gaza City, killing at least 104 Palestinians as they waited for food aid. Gaza's health ministry says over 760 people were wounded in what Hamas called an unprecedented war crime. According to eyewitnesses, Israeli forces opened fire on the crowd that had gathered around humanitarian aid trucks. The death toll is expected to rise as hospitals in Gaza City are struggling to treat the wounded. Dr. Jadala Al-Shafai of Al-Shifa Hospital spoke to Al Jazeera shortly after the attack.
Since the early hours of the morning, the hospital has been flooded with dozens of dead bodies and hundreds of injured. The majority of the victims suffered gunshot wounds and shrapnel in the head and upper parts of their bodies. They were hit by direct artillery shelling, drone missiles, and gunfire. All our operation rooms are full, and all medical staff have been deployed. Above all, we ran out of medical supplies and fuel necessary to operate the hospital. We hope we will be able to provide any life-saving procedures to those victims. All victims are in critical condition. They're lying on the floor. We stand helpless amid the sharp shortage of supplies and staff.
This comes as Palestinian officials say the death toll in Gaza since October 7th has topped 30,000. The staggering milestone, which does not account for thousands still missing or trapped under rubble, represents one out of every 75 people in Gaza. The UN says over 500,000 people in Gaza are on the cusp of starvation. The Gaza Health Ministry reports 6 children recently died from dehydration and malnutrition. 7 other children are in critical condition. After headlines, we'll speak with Oregon's Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley. He recently visited the Egyptian side of the Rafah border crossing. Here in New York, activists are observing a 24-hour vigil in front of City Hall. Participants are reading the names of the 30,000 Palestinians killed since October 7th. A number of city council members have appeared at the vigil since it kicked off Wednesday amidst an effort to pass a ceasefire resolution in New York City. Audrey Sasson, director of Jews for Racial and Economic Justice, spoke yesterday.
You do not have to be Arab, Muslim, Palestinian, or in my case, in the case of our members, Jews who say no, to speak out against an unfolding genocide.
That's right.
You simply need to be a human being who is paying attention.
In Missouri, a Girl Scout troop has split from the organization after the group made legal threats against the girls for running a fundraiser benefiting Palestinian children. Girl Scout mother Nawal Abu Hamda said that instead of selling cookies this year, her 10-year-old daughter and sister troop members decided to make and sell bracelets with beads in the colors of the Palestinian flag, spelling out Gaza and Palestine. The Girl Scouts of Eastern Missouri deemed the move political, banning them from continuing their fundraiser for the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. In response, the girls decided to part ways with the Girl Scouts organization. They're continuing their fundraiser, which has raised over $10,000 so far. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell announced he's stepping down as Senate's Republican leader in November in a move that's expected to strengthen Donald Trump's control of the Republican Party. The 82-year-old McConnell has served 17 years as Republican leader, the longest term in Senate history.
Believe me, I know the politics within my party at this particular moment in time. I have many faults. Misunderstanding politics is not one of them.
Senator McConnell said he plans to finish his term as senator. During his leadership, Mitch McConnell successfully blocked voting on Democratic bills from gun control to election integrity while ramming through Republican priorities, including Trump's $2 trillion tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans. Mitch McConnell helped Trump stack federal courts with far-right judges. He also reversed the 60-vote threshold for confirming Supreme Court justices, allowing Trump to install three right-wing ideologues on the bench a few years after stonewalling President Obama's Supreme Court justice pick. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich said of McConnell, quote, "Few people have done more to undermine our democratic institutions and the rule of law than Mitch McConnell," Reich said. The Supreme Court's announced it'll decide whether former President Donald Trump has presidential immunity and cannot be prosecuted for attempting to overturn the 2020 election. Oral arguments will be held during the week of April 22nd. Trump's claimed he should have total immunity from prosecution. The court's decision is seen as a major victory for Trump, as it'll likely further delay his federal election subversion trial until possibly after the November election. Meanwhile, a judge in Illinois has ruled Trump should be removed from the state's March 19th primary ballot for violating the insurrectionist clause of the 14th Amendment. The judge stayed her ruling until Friday, giving Trump a chance to appeal. Colorado and Maine have also ruled Trump to be ineligible. The Supreme Court heard arguments in the Colorado case 3 weeks ago, but hasn't issued a decision yet. In other Trump news, the New York Times has revealed the former president has paid out nearly $400,000 to cover legal expenses from his failed lawsuit against the newspaper. Trump sued the Times after it revealed his confidential tax records showed he paid very little in federal income tax. This all comes as Trump and President Biden are both making separate trips today to the U.S.-Mexico border. Biden is headed to Brownsville, Texas, while Trump is going to Eagle Pass, Texas, which has been the center of a standoff between the state of Texas and the federal government. In other election news, Marianne Williamson has unsuspended her presidential campaign after she received about 3% of the vote in Michigan's Democratic primary against Biden. Williamson's the only Democratic candidate to support a ceasefire in Gaza. In other Supreme Court news, justices appear divided along ideological lines as they considered Wednesday whether the Trump administration overreached its authority when it imposed a ban on bump stocks in 2018. Bump stocks can turn semi-automatic rifles into fully automatic machine guns and were used in the 2017 Las Vegas mass shooting, which killed 60 people and injured hundreds. A decision is expected in the summer. Congressional leaders announced a deal Wednesday to briefly extend government funding, avoiding a partial shutdown. The deal, which both the Senate and House must vote on before a Friday deadline, would fund six federal agencies through March 8th and another six through March 22nd. In the Texas panhandle, the massive Smokehouse Creek fire has now burned nearly 900,000 acres of land, making it the second largest wildfire in Texas history. The fire is now larger than the state of Rhode Island. At least one person and thousands of cattle have died in the blaze, which was sparked by record heat. Residents say the fire quickly swept through whole neighborhoods.
It came up very fast. I saw the neighbor's house starting to burn, and I called 911, and the fire trucks got here, but it was it just started really fast. Flames were going everywhere. And by the time we got back, well, there was nothing left. We basically have lost everything. This is the only pair of pants I've got, and the shirt. That's it.
Four other large fires are also burning in Texas. In other news from Texas, prison officials executed 50-year-old Dallas native Ivan Abner Cantu on Wednesday, despite major doubts over his conviction and a high-profile campaign to save him. A key witness recanted their testimony in the 2000 double homicide, which killed Cantu's cousin and his cousin's fiance, and over which Cantu had always maintained his innocence. Among those who called for a stay in Cantu's execution were jurors from his trial, Democratic congressmembers, celebrities, and Catholic activists. Texas medical officials injected Cantu with pentobarbital at 6:26 p.m. He died 21 minutes later. In other execution news, Idaho prison officials had to call off the execution Wednesday of Thomas Eugene Creech after failing to establish IV lines. The all-volunteer medical team attempted to find a viable vein for the lethal injection for nearly an hour, trying eight different sites on his body. The execution was scheduled to be Idaho's first in 12 years. In Guinea, trade unions have suspended their nationwide strike after union leader Sekou Jamal Pendesso was released from prison Wednesday. The strike had gripped the West African nation since it started earlier this week. Two young protesters were killed Monday after clashes with police. The labor-led protests came after Guinea's military, which overthrew President Alpha Condé in a 2021 coup, unexpectedly dissolved the transitional government that had been in place since 2022. Unions accused leaders of cracking down on dissent and censoring the media.
Alpha Condé had problems with the press, but what junta leader Mamadi Doumbouya has done today is worse, because Doumbouya even went as far as to cut off the internet in Guinea for more than a month. Alpha Condé never did that.
In Nigeria, government workers and other sectors have launched a new nationwide strike amidst growing protests over the soaring cost of living and inflation. Labor leaders say President Bola Tinubu is failing to deliver on campaign promises of wage increases and financial help for the poorest households. The International Criminal Court has awarded victims of Uganda's Lord's Resistance Army, Commander Dominique Ongwen, more than $56 million in compensation. Although the sum is a record for the ICC, it amounts to a symbolic $812 for the more than 50,000 eligible survivors. The tribunal's trust fund for victims is expected to pay out the money. Survivors reacted to the verdict Wednesday.
Me personally, I'm not happy that the order, it's unfair, because if they are paying us 750, that's around 3 million Ugandan money. That is really little money. Like, for example, for me, I was shot. My hand, I've lost my arm. I can't do any heavy work. So that money can't even buy me land. It can't even reparate what I lost in my life.
Dominique Ongwen, once a child soldier himself, eventually became one of the LRA's top commanders. He was sentenced in 2021 to 25 years and 60 counts of war crimes and crimes against humanity, including rape, murder, and child abduction. Back in the United States, Republicans blocked a bill that would create federal protections for in vitro fertilization. Senator Tammy Duckworth, who had both her daughters using IVF, brought the measure to the floor in the wake of Alabama's Supreme Court ruling that frozen embryos are children. Duckworth sought to pass the bill under unanimous consent, but Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith blocked it, citing vast overreach. Meanwhile, Alabama Republicans have advanced several bills to protect IVF in the state, which could pass as early as next week. And the Justice Department has launched its investigation into Boeing after a door blew off an Alaska Airlines 737 MAX 9 mid-flight last month. This comes as the Federal Aviation Administration gave the company a 90-day deadline for presenting a safety plan that meets current standards for new planes. A recent report by the FAA found Boeing's safety culture to be inadequate and confusing. Last week, Boeing announced it was replacing the head of its 737 MAX program. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, over 100 Palestinians are killed and 760 wounded after Israeli troops opened fire on a large crowd of people waiting for food aid in Gaza. And the death toll overall in Gaza since October 7th has surpassed 30,000. We'll speak with Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley, one of the first senators to call for a ceasefire. Back in a minute. I Could Fly by Our Native Daughters. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. Scores of Palestinians were killed and 760 injured early Thursday after Israeli troops opened fire on a large crowd waiting for deliveries of food in Gaza City. At the time of this broadcast, the death toll stands at 104, with the number expected to rise, according to the health ministry in Gaza, which said the attack, quote, constituted a new phase in the genocide. Hundreds of Palestinians had gathered on a major street where aid trucks carrying flour were due to arrive when Israeli forces opened fire from tanks and drones. The wounded have been taken to four hospitals in the area, all of which are largely non-functioning with no electricity or medical supplies. The death toll in Gaza has now crossed 30,000, according to the health ministry, with thousands more missing and presumed dead. Over 70,000 have been wounded. Among the worst affected areas in Gaza is the north, where aid has barely been delivered in months. One official with the World Health Organization told Reuters that any aid deliveries that do come through are mobbed by desperate people who are visibly starving with sunken eyes. On Wednesday, top UN officials told the Security Council over 500,000 people in Gaza are on the cusp of starvation, while virtually the entire population of 2.3 million people is in desperate need of food.
Today, we're joined by Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon. In November, he became only the second senator to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. In January, Senator Merkley traveled to the Rafah border crossing in Egypt to witness the system of humanitarian aid deliveries. Senator Merkley is co-author of the new book, Filibustered, How to Fix the Broken Senate and Save America. Before we speak to the senator, let's turn to a clip of his address on the Senate floor in early February about the humanitarian truck inspections at the Rafah border crossing.
Israel has set up a very complicated system to inspect the trucks before. And they had such an inspection system before October 7th, and they were able to inspect and allow 500 trucks a day to enter. But they've set up a convoluted system now that Senator Van Hollen and I witnessed at Rafah Crossing, where truck drivers, after loading up their supplies, often wait up to a week to get permission to pass into Gaza. A week.
Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon joins us now from Washington, D.C. Senator, welcome to Democracy Now!
Well, thank you so much. Very good to be with you.
You are the second senator to call for a ceasefire. This, after last week, though you called for it before, the U.S. once again vetoed a ceasefire resolution at the United Nations. We just had reports today that you heard about Israeli troops opening fire through tanks, guns, drones on people desperate for aid, killing more than 100, perhaps wounding more than 700. Can you talk about the situation right now and what you feel needs to happen?
Well, the situation is a cascade of catastrophes. It is lack of food. It's lack of clean water. It's lack of shelter. It's lack of power. It's lack of communications, all while bombs and artillery shells keep falling. The seasoned humanitarian aid workers that I met with at Rafah Gate and in Egypt and in Jordan said they've been in the worst conflict zones in the world, places like the front line of Ukraine, places like Yemen and Somalia, and that nothing compares to the combination of tragedies that are simultaneously occurring in Gaza. The humanitarian situation is horrific.
Senator Merkley, despite what you say, of course, there are still only five senators who are calling for a ceasefire. What's your message to them?
My message is that we have to look with open eyes because that's what we do with every humanitarian situation around the world, whether it's in Burma, whether it's with people being enslaved in China or the way China's treating Tibetans. In this case, it happens to be occurring in the context of our work with an ally, with Israel. But that means we can't just look away and pretend it's not happening. We have to recognize we, the United States, are so closely tied, more closely tied than any situation in the world because of our military aid to Israel, our resupply of bombs and artillery shells during the war, our very close consultation and intelligence sharing. For all these reasons, it's the United States that has leverage to address this situation, and the world expects us to take the lead and to act in a much more bold and aggressive way than we have been doing.
And what about the your position on military aid? Quite apart from a ceasefire, have there been calls for the suspension of military aid given the situation on the ground?
Yes, I voted against the emergency supplemental because it included additional offensive aid as opposed to, well, it includes defensive as well, which I can support. But the idea that we're voting to resupply these types of arms that have been used in indiscriminate bombing by Israel in Gaza, contributing and creating to this humanitarian debacle, I had to oppose that. And it's complicated because it's tied in the same bill with aid to Ukraine, which I and others strongly support. But we need to have a Senate where we can actually put up amendments, be able to debate pieces of the legislation, which we were unable to do.
Senator Merkley, the Michigan primary just happened. We see there this uncontested vote. For every six people who voted for Biden, for every six Democrats, one person voted for uncontested. Over 100,000 people in Michigan, the battleground state, meaning uncommitted. And this was clearly a vote for a ceasefire and for President Biden to change his position on embracing Israel, on providing weapons for Israel, on perhaps saying that he's being harsh behind the scenes, but continuing to embrace Israel publicly and when it comes to issues like military aid. Do you think that President Biden is perhaps putting his own reelection in jeopardy for the stance he's taken on Israel, whether it's the Arab American community in this country responding, the African American community, 1,000 pastors just wrote him a letter, youth vote in this country? And have you had conversations with him?
Well, I have not had conversations directly with President Biden, but I have with many of his advisors. And the situation is such they are conscious of certainly how this is reverberating in a political context. But certainly Palestinian Americans are profoundly disturbed. It's hard to find any Palestinian American who has not lost members of their extended family in Gaza or is deeply disturbed through their friends and extended associations of the impact. And we have a population that has thought about the issues of social justice in focused ways over the last few years, in the Me Too movement, in the Black Lives Matter movement. And what they are seeing is a connection, identification with folks in Palestine that are in in Gaza who are the weaker party in this and who are civilians who are dying in through this type of warfare and being injured on a massive scale. And it's profoundly disturbing. It should be profoundly disturbing to every American, but it is certainly affecting how younger folks who have grown up with a social consciousness are seeing this and pondering the election to come. It is a significant electoral issue.
Senator Merkley, just to go back to your visit to Rafah last month, if you could explain what exactly the situation is on the crossing, along the crossing, and why so many trucks are being turned away. There are lines and lines of them on the Egyptian side of the border. And when you were there, you said that in a warehouse in Rafah, filled with material, you saw this warehouse that had been rejected in inspection. The warehouse included things like oxygen cylinders, gas power generators, tents, and medical kits used in delivering babies. What explanation's been given for why these things are being turned away?
Well, Israel has had great reluctance about providing aid into Gaza, and yet they control all the entry points into Gaza, so they are the critical factor. And so they set up a system that's full of challenges. So truck drivers have to wait for permission to go to the inspection location, which is in Israel. So they drive then from, they may be waiting quite a while in Egypt, waiting for permission to do that, get to that inspection point, and they may be told, well, there is an item on your truck that we can't allow. For example, one issue we heard about was scalpels in birthing kits. Well, they have a sharp edge, so this is being rejected. Or perhaps it's an oxygen tank for a hospital, but that metal could be used as a missile launcher. Or this is a power generator needed also for a hospital, but it could be used by Hamas to put air into a tunnel. So these things get rejected even after they have often been cleared in advance. And if a single item is rejected off the truck, the entire truck is rejected. And so this is why the process is so complicated and difficult. Partly it's rooted in an authentic desire to avoid dual-use items that will help Hamas. And partly it's rooted in a reluctance to provide aid directly from Israel into Gaza. And yet the U.S. has depended upon that as a way to provide humanitarian aid. And it's been so grossly inadequate. So every single day, we see the growing collapse of the medical system. We see women who are having C-sections without anesthesia. We see children having their limbs amputated without anesthesia. We see basic supplies of medicine for people who are suffering from high blood pressure, or they're suffering from diabetic circumstances, or they have infections and they don't have antibiotics. This is unacceptable. It's why I've been calling for the U.S. to bypass Israel and do direct deliveries of aid. We have the ability to get airlift of every medicine needed to those remaining few hospitals that are functioning. We have the ability to get aid onshore with our huge sea lift and airlift capability and then have it distributed by humanitarian organizations. We are complicit now in this starvation and humanitarian catastrophe because of our close relationship, and this has to end. We have to act directly.
Would you call it a genocide, Senator Merkley?
I have not used the word genocide. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an international humanitarian or a legal organization. But let's just describe that these circumstances being deliberately inflicted upon the people and the displacement have many of the characteristics of the worst situations around the world that we have condemned previously.
I want to ask you about the breaking news yesterday about Senator McConnell stepping down as the Republican leader of the Senate, a position he has held longer than any senator in history. He's going to step down next November in a move that's expected to strengthen Trump's control of the Republican Party, serve 17 years as Republican leader. I wanted to talk about his record. He said he plans to finish as senator. During his leadership, McConnell successfully blocked voting on Democratic bills from gun control to election integrity, ramming through Republican priorities, including Trump's $2 trillion tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans, helped stack Trump stack federal courts with far-right judges, reversed the 60-vote threshold for confirming Supreme Court justices, allowing Trump to install